All right, well, welcome to this class this afternoon, and hopefully you can learn a few things and you can also give some insight and input to the rest of us. I am going to begin with reading a story called Mrs. Spitzer's Garden. I love to garden. It's where I go for therapy, other than teaching and being an aunt. Those are my two favorite things to do, and gardening is right up there with that. So, Mrs. Spitzer's Garden. We're going to liken your classroom, your students that come to you as seeds and as a garden. Mrs. Spitzer is a teacher. She is in room 108 of Tremont Elementary School. Inside room 108 are six tables, four circles, and two rectangles. There is a rug in one corner with real hopscotch squares and checkerboards woven in bright colors. There is also a size chart, a birthday chart, a gerbil in a cage, a housekeeping and dress-up corner, a row of 22 pegs for coats and backpacks, and in another corner, Mrs. Spitzer's desk. At the end of summer, Mr. Merrick, the principal, walks down the hall to Mrs. Spitzer's room and gives her a packet of seeds. Mrs. Spitzer consults her calendar and plans her daily schedule. She checks her tools. She makes sure the soil is right, light and well drained, with plenty of room for sprouting. Then Mrs. Spitzer plants the seeds. She waters them, feeds them, and makes sure they get plenty of sun. The seeds begin to sprout. As the plants grow, Mrs. Spitzer watches them closely. She checks daily for weeds and pests. She knows that different plants need different things and that each plant has its own shape. Some of the plants grow quickly, pushing upward, eager, impatient. Some grow more slowly, unfolding themselves bit by bit. Some plants sprout thin and tall. Some are bushy and wide-spreading. Some are bold, showy. They are brightly colored, saying, "Look at me!" Some are silvery and quiet, the color of the earth. A few are like wildflowers and will grow anywhere you put them. And some need gentle care, a special watching over. As the seasons change, Mrs. Spitzer tends her garden. And then the year is over and her job is done. But the plants will keep growing, uncurling their stems, stretching their leaves outward, and showing their faces to the sun. Mrs. Spitzer puts away her tools, her daily calendar, and her plan book. Soon another year will start, and Mr. Merrick will once again walk down the hall with a packet of seeds for Mrs. Spitzer. She will dust off her tools, till the soil, and a new garden will begin. And I think that y'all are working on preparing for your garden. And one of the things that you will be doing in your garden is teaching reading. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about that. And okay, so the word read, defined, means to look at and comprehend the meaning of written or printed matter by mentally interpreting the characters or symbols of which it is composed. And that comes from the Oxford Dictionary. I had to think about other languages. Some of you may speak other languages, but if I would have written Chinese up here, it would probably look just like symbols to you. And I think that's how, for some of our children that come to us, it looks, letters look like symbols to them. And so when your children first come to you, they possibly may only know the alphabet as symbols. You might have kindergarten classes. I think that's more familiar than it used to be. And you might have first graders that actually come to you knowing how to read. But you, as the gardener, have the privilege of introducing to them the world of sounds and adding symbols and adding sounds to the symbols and then blending those sounds into words and then learning to read sentences, paragraphs, stories, and eventually books. This doesn't come automatically, and we can liken it to what I have said already as being a gardener and tending a garden. You can plant the seed, you can water it, tend it daily, and see it grow. And by the end of the year, or maybe even by Christmas time, the fruit that you will see is tremendous. The next section, the first section on your handout, is talking about the daily lessons, the things that you'll be doing. If you're using Christian Light, I base some of this off of the way that that works, the learning to read works. One of the first things that you will do is develop those auditory sounds. Get them to be able to hear. I'm working with this 7-year-old little boy, and he hasn't had very much of an introduction to school life at all. So when I first started introducing auditory sounds, getting him to listen for sounds, it was very difficult for him. You know, if I say apple, alligator, he had a really hard time figuring out what he was supposed to be listening for. So you might have that. And that is one of the things that you will do as a first grade teacher, is exaggerate those beginning sounds and they'll be able to hear it better and know what they're listening for. And it might take a bit, but be patient with them and work on those listening activities. Christian Light has a section in their learning to read lessons. It's called Blending Fun. How many of you are familiar with that? You use that? Good. And that is where they break a word into sounds. You as a teacher break the word into sounds, and the students put them back together again. For example, if I say k-a-t, the student will reply to me cat. They can eventually put that together. This is a session to just kind of keep short. If you have a student that's struggling with it, not continue working on it for a long time, because they'll get burdened and weary and frustrated. Plant those seeds carefully, and the small shoots of recognition will come. This activity is one to master. Keep working on it. If they don't get it in the first week, that's okay. Keep working on it. If they do struggle with this, they possibly will struggle with reading. So keep working on it. Teaching a child to break apart words minimizes memorizing and guessing. In my studies with this, I discovered that some teachers do the opposite, and you might be one of those teachers, which they do an activity that is called finger spelling. So maybe the teacher says lick, and the student says lick, l-i-k, using a finger for each sound that they heard. I'm not familiar with that, but I thought it was a fascinating method to think about trying sometime. Are there any of you that have you done that? You've done that? How does it work for you?
I really like doing it. I think it helps them to break apart the sounds or the letters and place them better.
And how do you like that compared to how Christian Light does the breaking apart?
I've done both.
Okay. Yeah. That's great. Another thing that must hugely be taught, your children probably won't come knowing this very well, and that is going from left to right. The concept of reading from the left to the right must be taught and enforced from the beginning. Make sure to habitually drill this by modeling it and helping your students to always look for the beginning sound. Once again, the little boy that I'm working with, his fingers are kind of all over the page, and I have to usually bring him back to start at the left and counting, reading, whatever. So be patient with them, model it when you're working on the board. It will help them to avoid saying was for saw and those kinds of things if they can just continuously work on going from left to right. Okay, next, this is a huge part of first grade reading, and that is review, reading, review, and more reading. And in your teacher's manual, you have a lot of review sections. Christian Light has made it very nice that we do not have to come up with all of our review. Some people disagree with me on that, but I'm going to say it's a gift that they have done that. You can always add to it. And I talked about adding to teacher's manuals the first day, how my friend, she has added to her teacher manual from other curriculums. And so if you would rather make your own, you can do that. But use what they have. It will save you time, and it's there for a reason. So Christian Light has the blending, where they do the breaking the words apart. They also have word phrases and sight words. Some of you know this. You probably use their flashcards. They have those sight words and word phrases in pink shaded boxes. They have that you can blend and read as a class. One teacher suggested that you read it 3 to 4 times, maybe 5 times as a class before you get the students to read them individually. I don't know how some of you do that. If you have multiple grades, might not be what you can do, but. And then also get them to read individually. BSR also has sessions of drills and word lists, which, is there anybody that's going to use BSR? Okay, great. So we've got both. And you have the handy little word. Oh, this is the reader. I thought I had the word practice book. But they have a word practice book that goes with that. And you know that it takes time, but if you have multiple grades, you might have an older, dependable student, maybe even some older girls in the upper grades that could be listeners for some of that reading time. Older girls love to be a teacher and listen to those. Christian Light has word lists in each lesson that begins in Light Unit 1, Lesson 8. And those are in their lesson, each lesson, and then there's a bookmark in the back of the book to cut out for the student to study. And you can get those students to read those lists 3 to 5 times before getting students to read them on their own. Now, this is something you're going to need to teach your students how to do. I have had students that I would tell them to read this list 5 times and put a little tally mark every time you've read it. Well, those tally marks grow a lot faster than they have learned the words. So they need to be taught how to study them. I have already had them read their word lists to another student, or maybe to a stuffed animal, gotten them to go outside and read it to an object that's out there. That too is also something that needs to be monitored, so it can be a little iffy. Here again, students can be helpful. And the goal for the list, according to what Christian Light says, is they would suggests that the students read it in 1 minute or less, that word list in the Christian Light lessons. But there are students that might freeze when they're being timed. One of my co-teachers this past year, her student, he just froze when she did the word list. So of course, timing is not going to be a good option, but you can try to do it when they have no idea that it's happening. That's encourage for the improvement and the effort. You know, you might have that student that flies through the word list or that student that can't. So encourage. A sticker or a small token can also be used for encouragement. Some teachers I know keep track of the daily times, and then they come up with an average speed for each light unit. And the one teacher that did that, she actually put it into the report card then. And it was interesting to see how they sped up in their reading. If you teach students how to sound out words, which is what you do in first grade, and then not give them the practice time, it's as if you are the gardener that's planting the seed and not watering it. So practice, review, practice some more. You may get tired of it, but continue reviewing. Your plants will benefit from that. Short sessions will be the best, and I'm sure that some of you that have taught have realized that. The attention span of first graders is short, and their ability to sit still for very long is also kind of short. Might not only be for first graders, actually. So, anyway. Another thing that you have in reading is spelling. That is also something that you can work on with getting them to read well. Have a daily practice time getting your students to spell. I don't know how some of you have done this. The way that I have done this is the students actually have a spelling notebook, and at the beginning of the year, we teach them to label the page with numbers, and I guess I don't have it down here, but usually which page number it is, and then the spelling words that are in the light unit for spelling. Now, first grade isn't going to come to you knowing how to spell, so you can begin with the sounds that they have learned, and then gradually maybe getting into blends and then into spelling words is the one way that I have been familiar with doing it. And there might be some other ideas that some of you have had. Does anybody have anything? Yes. I'm sorry, in the teacher's guide and not in the light unit.
Okay, yeah. I typically hand out a paper, a pouch of paper, and let them write them. Or sometimes I'll send them to the board.
Mm-hmm. Penmanship paper is an excellent idea. Or going to the board. Most children love doing that. Okay. And along with what Rowena said, I have on the handout, this activity can be beneficial for teaching penmanship, spelling, and good order. If you teach them order in everything, it will pay off. So we have reading, review, working, left to right, spelling. Those are the things that you're going to work on daily in the whole reading spectrum of first grade. And each day, you're going to get out your tools and cultivate that garden. Just one step at a time. And if you have daily care and watering in the form of drills and review, it will help your little plants grow well. And don't be discouraged if you think your class is not up to speed. Sometimes we can compare our class with another class and feel like they're not living or they're not where we think they should be. But the one thing that my mentor teacher has taught me, she would say, take the time to stop and go back. It will pay off than if you continue giving these children more and they can't handle it. So it's okay if you go slower. So take that time to stabilize them. If you keep watering little corn plants and they are too wet, they will eventually rot. So your little plants, take time to just cultivate them carefully. And your efforts will reap hundredfold later. Okay, another part of reading is oral reading. And hopefully you all enjoy books and love to read yourselves. That will bring little readers that enjoy that. What a delight to send those primers home that first day. There's just nothing quite like that. First graders are so excited, and it helps when you as a teacher are excited. Make a big deal out of it. Get them to look through the book and ask them questions about what they think the pictures are about. Now you could, there are also stories in the light units before that you could send home and get them to study those, and you might do that as well before they come to their own little readers of their own. Just a few things about oral reading. Be a teacher that uses good pronunciation, tone, speed, volume, and expression. And I feel like I might be talking about what Jonah talked about the other evening. And he did a super job in getting that point across with using the pronunciation and expression. Model emotions. If someone is sad, use a sad voice. If they are rejoicing, have a happy voice. And you can teach your students how to do that as well. Maybe read it. If somebody is sad, maybe read it in a happy voice and ask them if they think that's okay. They'll probably tell you it doesn't make sense. Be prepared. Send readers home for the students to practice and also to read to their family. They love to take it home and tell mom, I can do this now. But there's also the side that mom is very busy, which most moms are. So be aware and sensitive to family life that might not be conducive to them to read. And I know probably the child that needs the most practice is the one that has the busiest and craziest home life. So I'm not sure how to juggle that, except be the teacher that is aware that you are serving your families and care about the student that has the crazy home life. Posture, using good posture in sitting or standing erect. When I was growing up, we had to stand up at the board in a line, and that's how we read. Well, I have had students sitting in circles, just sitting at their seats. You might have that reading nook or various places that you could be with them. Just be aware that if they are standing, that there's a possibility if the story kind of waxes long, they're going to get tired and wiggly and lose their thoughts. Enunciation, read loudly and clearly. Previous practice helps prepare for this. If you maybe have them read the story beforehand, and then when you read it orally, they will know what's coming next. Modulation, practice using different voice tones. Jonah did this fantastically. I have a long way to go on that one, but he did a super job. Punctuation, this is another big one. So easy to go flying through those stop signs and commas. So if you teach them how to stop at the periods, pause at the commas, they're going to need to be told. And then reading as a class, I'd be interested in hearing some ideas from y'all then how you do this. When reading as a class, don't always follow a rotation. So that if we are going around the circle here, and Lori is a slow reader, and Jessica knows she's next, she's just gonna tune out until Lori finally gets finished. So if we know that Lori has a hard time reading, I might ask her to only read a few sentences so that she doesn't get overwhelmed. And then maybe call on Hannah. So if we always do the same thing, they're going to tune out, especially if you have a long story or somebody that's a slow reader. Another thing that I've done is just have a student read until I say stop, and then I pick on another student. I just heard today about having names on a popsicle stick in a cup, and you just pull that, and then that's who is the next reader. And while you are aware of the slow reader, include them, but keep their passages short. And also, your response to them as being slow readers, maybe you have that harried, frustrated look on your face because it's taking so long again. Be careful with those, or don't have those looks, but be careful in how you respond to the slow reader, and don't allow the other students to laugh, because I think that probably can be so painful that it would take a long time to repair that pain. Okay, any thoughts on the reading section? Any tips, anything that you would like to share how you have done it?
One thing with the spelling I found with my children, I had one boy that didn't really enjoy spelling very much, and the other one, there was only two in his class, and they were very competitive. He was much better in math, and the other one was much better in reading. And the one spelling could get his done very fast, and the other one, it took him a while to get all the sounds out. So I got them each a whiteboard, and I got myself one, and they loved racing against me, so they each take a turn. I would give them a word, and said Derek would give me a word, and he would find the longest word he could think of to give me so that he could beat me. And that really helped. He loved to see if he could beat me. And sometimes I'd just take longer, getting mine out, and he just was always so overjoyed when he could get his word done before I could, and that seemed to help out some.
And he didn't know that he was doing spelling.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That.
It took the focus off of the spelling words.
And there are so many differences in your class sizes of what you can do. You have a big class of first graders, and then maybe have second and third graders. You're going to be a super busy teacher. Anybody else? Okay, next, following directions. I struggled a bit on this one, because how do you actually teach following directions? I think it really falls back on your procedures and how well you're consistent with your daily procedures, and then following directions will fall into that, hopefully. Now, this is more specifically workbook related. So if you teach them to follow directions from day one, and you might be the teacher that has your students have their hands caught and you tell them when they may begin. And that would go into having their attention before you give any instructions. I think I talked yesterday about giving five, making sure that if the students would give you five by having their hands caught and their feet still and their ears listening and their mouth closed, and there's another one, but basically you have their attention before you go further. And that can be a tricky one because you might feel like you are running in a time crunch and I just need to get this done. But if you wait until you have everybody's attention, you are actually further ahead than you were if you continue without their attention. It can be a hard one to learn as a teacher, but if you teach your students to give you their attention, it will help you. So, teach them to follow those directions and have their attention before you continue. And then as you work on the verbal directions, because those are fun, they come into first grade and there are no written directions, so they have to listen for the verbal directions. And those verbal directions are going to give them a foundation for reading the written ones. And the written ones, you know, are fairly simple. Ring two, or I can't even think of what some of those are, but they are just short little instructions. And then as they continue throughout the year, they get more directions. And they continue to get more. So teach them to read the directions before they begin doing anything. Some teachers might actually, you might be one of those, get them to read the whole section before they do anything. Christian Light tends to have a variety of ways of instructing students how to do the exercises. Just because you underline today doesn't mean you're going to tomorrow. And I've had students that just kind of do what they did yesterday, and that's not what the instructions say. So try to teach them to read them before they begin doing anything. And be consistent in getting them to follow them. It is a part of the lesson and learning how to take instruction. I feel like it is a part of life, like almost like a life skill, to be able to read directions and follow them, because you need to learn how to take instruction from somebody. And if they can do that in their workbooks, it will help them out. And then, what are you going to do if they don't follow those? If they underline instead of circling? If you feel like you have explained it well, and they've had enough of time, and they are able to read the instructions, you could mark it wrong. Some teachers mark it wrong if they simply don't follow the instructions. And I think that's up to your discretion. And I don't know if that would be a school-wide thing or not. I know some teachers in older grades have already had their students write those instructions that they didn't follow, I don't know, 10 times or something like that. Some students had a lot of writing to do. But I would say train them well, and then you can decide if you need to deal with them not following them. Any ideas on what you have done in the following instructions?
I had a boy that could rip through his work pretty fast and would have lots of spare time, and so if he didn't follow directions, I would just erase the whole part and he'd have to go over and do it all back over again, and that seemed a slow process.
Anybody else?
Circle the word that says circle, underline if it says underline, box if it says box.
Thank you. I did not think about writing that in here. Yes. Actually get them to look at the instructions. If it says circle, actually circle the word circle. If it says underline, underline. Box, you box it. I have actually seen that just in the past year in a fourth grader's work. He had underlined and circled and boxed to help himself. Okay, any thoughts on reading, any questions on reading and the following instructions part? If not, we're going to go to the very last part and the one of the fun parts of first grade. All first grade is fun, but this is a really fun one. And that is ways that you can integrate a love of reading into your classroom. And hopefully you already have that. But you can have a library in your classroom. This classroom has a library. It's always fun if you come to a classroom that has books. Maybe you have a school library. Or you can bring books from home. Some of us have lots and lots of books, so that's what we did. And you can also go to the public library. Those you have to kind of make sure they are okay before you take them. Use the school library. This building here, or this facility, also has a church library. So there were books in the school rooms and in the church library. So you might have that option. One of my favorite things is using readers from other curricula. And I would recommend picking up the Abeka readers. There are Rod and Staff books, Pathway. And if you introduce readers, and even in earlier stages, when the students haven't learned some of the words or some of the sounds, they start getting an interest, because the different curriculum they introduce sounds and words at different times, and they just kind of pick up those little words, and those are like golden nuggets for them later. When you go for those sight words, they already know them. And it's just so much fun when you know that they're reading above the level that you have taught them. So pick up those readers, and maybe your classroom has them. Give time for reading and allow them to peruse books, to love books. Enjoy books yourself. Have moms come in to read a story on their child's birthday. Maybe you would prefer a story instead of cupcakes. I think that might be a good alternative, actually. Use Victory Drill. How many of you use Victory Drill? Good. And that is a fantastic resource as well. One of the fun things that my teacher mentor did, she had this little program that she called Dump Truck. And she, I think, did it in October or November, something like that, with her first graders. And they would work through the Victory Drill book. Not the whole thing. She had this little dump truck and a pile of dirt. So this is the pile of dirt that the dump truck was dumping out. And she had written on each little piece. So this, they were going to read page 1, columns 1 and 2. And they would, the second graders would come, sit with the first graders and be their little teachers. And then if they were able to make, I think they started out with 20, wait. They started out with 6 words. So they started really low. They started out with 6 words. So in order to color this section, you would have needed to read 6 words in a minute, I believe. And then the next day, the first graders would study maybe in spare time or at a pre-appointed time. The next day, the second graders would come again and be the little teachers. And then they would fill up this whole thing, and they would have read words over and beyond what they would have needed to at that point of first grade. And the best part was, at the end, you would have a dump truck party. The students would bring in their Tonka dump trucks, loaded with goodies, one for everybody in the class. And they would come roaring into the room with these dump trucks, and they would unload in the middle or wherever in the room, just pile it up. And then they would pick out their prizes. It was so fun. Anyway, I share that idea with you. I have some of the masters if you would be interested, just because it was such a fun thing. So, any ideas other than this of integrating an interest of learning to read, what you might have, and loving to read, that you might have done? Sign language.
And over the years, when you read the story to them, the letters, mm-hmm. like for the letter S, I made pictures from the story to do on a flannel graph.
Nice.
And then another one, I have a hand puppet.
All right, well, we can continue more here, but blessings to you as you garden the school term. I hope you like to garden, but you'll be gardening in your classroom and watering and tending those little plants that will be knocking on your door here in a bit. So God bless you as you do that.